From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. For this episode, we'd like to issue a bit of a trigger warning because we're going to talk about something that may be uncomfortable for some of you. Rats. That's right. Those not-so-little furry guys scurrying around your neighborhood. Maybe you see them in the trash or in some dark corner or alley. For example, my apartment is close to a back street, and sometimes at night, I can hear them squeaking outside my window. It makes my skin crawl. And if you feel like you've been seeing rats more and more lately, WBUR reporter Walter Wuthman may have an explanation for you. He's been covering the increase in reported rat sightings and what cities and towns in the region are doing about it. He's with us now. Walt, thanks so much for coming through, man. How's it going?
It's going well, Darryl. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No doubt, man. All right, Walt, I'm relatively new to the city, and one thing I hear is that Boston has a lot of rats. But that's the case for a lot of cities right now, right? Like, can you talk about what's going on?
Yeah, so you probably remember in the beginning of the pandemic, there were all of these headlines about people seeing a lot more rats, especially as the lockdown started. You know, so I wanted to see if that was a flash in the pan or like a real thing. So Todd Wallach, who's an editor and awesome data journalist at WBUR, he and I pulled Boston 311 data going back all the way to 2013. And for those who don't know, 311 is the number you can call. It's also a website to log complaints about all kinds of things in the city, from, you know, rats to potholes. So Darryl, before I say what we found, I wanted to read a couple of these complaints to you because they're pretty good.
Let's do it.
So this is from Mission Hill just last week. Quote, neighbors leave trash bags out directly on the street. This causes excessive litter and rats. There are now coyotes in my area due to this. You must enforce enclosed trash bins to prevent public health crisis. I am in a deep mental depression due to all the litter and rats in Boston.
I feel you to whomever it may be. We got to get them some help.
I agree. I'll read you one more. This one is from South Boston. Quote, rats the size of small dogs down here. Please help. 4! There was a posse of them strolling the lower end like they were here before the yuppies. I'm pretty sure one of them had a knife in his sock. Send help.
Yo.
3! And that's from August 2020.
These rats are no joke out here, man.
they are not. So we took these many thousands of rat complaints, and we found that, in fact, they are up 48% compared to before the pandemic.
Damn, that's almost 50%. So the pandemic is what's playing a role here.
It definitely is. To kind of suss this out, I talked to this guy, Michael Parsons. He's an urban ecologist at Fordham University.
Mm-hmm.
And the leading theory, as he explained it to me, is that following lockdowns, all the restaurants closed, rats had to venture out looking for new sources of food, you know, now that those dumpsters in the back alleys were empty. So you started seeing these big spikes in complaints in neighborhoods right next to clusters of restaurants. So think about places like, you know, Davis Square in Somerville or Lower Alston or Mission Hill. When lockdowns ended and bars and diners and cafes reopened, some of the rats stayed in their new territories, but other ones went back to where they used to live and eat. So in effect, you're getting two distinct subpopulations of urban rats. So they love dumpsters, open trash cans, bird seed. They even eat dog poop.
Get out of here. That's wild. What are municipalities doing about it? I hear there's a rat czar somewhere.
There is. Somerville, the environmental health coordinator who's in charge of controlling the rat population, he does call himself the rat czar. Although I guess the title precedes him. The person in the role before him was also called the rat czar. And the big thing, rat czar Colin Ziegler and his counterparts in Boston or Newton, the big thing they stress is education. So the best way to deal with a rat infestation is to seal off your trash, eliminate any standing water, and cut down any, you know, brush or fill in burrows that they could be living in. But when it comes to actually killing rats, which is what they do when you have an active infestation, I found cities are trying some pretty creative new techniques to sort of tip the balance in this battle.
Yes, yes. You know, some of the technology that you mentioned was pretty fascinating. And I mean, we're not just dealing with simple glue traps or the spring-loaded traps anymore, right?
No, not at all. So Somerville, Colin Ziegler, the rat czar who I mentioned, he is in charge of these 50 shiny metal boxes. They're called smart boxes, and they let the rat in, and then they electrocute them with a quick electric shock. It stops their heartbeat. The dead rat gets carried up on a little elevator inside the box and then tossed into a trash can, which exterminators can then quickly and cleanly take out, replace it with a new trash can, and reset the box. Because the boxes are electronic, they also email the city every time they make a kill. So they record the time, you know, they record their location, and they record the kill. So eventually Somerville's going to be able to make these detailed maps of, you know, where the rats mostly are and when they're most active, which will help them in, you know, controlling some of those root causes. In Boston, I was following a sanitation team around. They're using another machine. It's called the Burrow RX, like a little dolly with a gas canister and a hose that they they put the hose down into the burrows, and they fill the burrows with carbon monoxide gas, and it suffocates them. It can kill whole colonies at once. And then Newton, they're using an edible form of rat birth control that they're putting out as bait, and they seem to be having pretty good results with that.
And apparently barbecue chicken can be useful, which is that's a little less high tech, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The exterminator in Somerville, this guy, Michael Collins, he loads all the high tech shock traps with barbecue chicken, which he rubs up himself, and he swears by it as the best way to get rats into these traps.
Hey, everybody loves barbecue chicken, right? So for the carbon monoxide, I found that pretty interesting. Can you take us step by step through that process?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, the brand name is called the Burrow RX. It's got this hose, and it fills the underground dens with this carbon monoxide gas. Here's how Brendan Sheehan, the environmental health inspector for the city of Boston, who runs this thing, here's how he put it to me.
You know, the rule of thumb is when you find a burrow, there's normally three burrows attached to it. And so what happens is the smoke comes down and fills the den up. And as we see the smoke emanating out of the other burrows, we start sealing them off. That way we know it's a complete system.
And it's kind of dramatic to watch this process in person because, you know, as he mentioned, the kind of white smoke is coming out of the ground, you know, showing where the unburied holes are. The city exterminators are trying to fill in those holes with dirt before rats come squirting out of them. That's their word, not mine. But they do say, you know, they do say that the carbon monoxide is quite lethal and quite effective.
Got it. And now there's also rat poison. And, you know, now that I think about it, it makes total sense. But until I read your story, I just really wasn't aware of the potential danger that rat poison can have on the ecosystem. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So rat poison, it does not kill the animals instantly. You know, it takes time to work through the body. So what happens is, you know, rats contaminated with this poison will go out into the world, and then their predators, things like, you know, coyotes or eagles or owls or hawks, they end up eating these rats, and it can kill them. You know, it's been documented to kill birds of prey, especially, you know, think great horned owls or, you know, bald eagles or things we're very, you know, concerned about keeping alive.
Right, right. And then there's another aspect of poison, the cruelty of it. You talked to Holly Elmore, a researcher with the think tank Rethinking Priorities, and she had this to say.
They have hemorrhages that can affect, you know, their brain. It can be really painful, especially if there's hemorrhages in the abdomen. And it's just a bad death.
Now, this reminds me of a while back in another apartment I was living in. I had a mouse problem. I actually tried the humane traps. I tried to, you know, the catch and release ones, but they weren't very effective. So I went back to glue traps or those spring loaded traps. I didn't really care about how the mice died. I just wanted them out of my space. So bringing it to this, and with Elmore's quote in mind, does the method of extermination need to be humane if it works?
It's a really interesting question. And I think it depends on your point of view. So rats are definitely a public health problem. And I don't want to downplay that. You know, they carry diseases. They destroy property. So you could take the Machiavellian position on it. You know, the ends justify the means. But Elmore would argue, and I tend to agree with this, that we should care about how we kill rats. I mean, they're really intelligent animals with complex social worlds. They do feel pain. you know, they're clearly pretty smart. That's why we use them in all these lab trials. So Elmore, she pulled all the existing research she could, and she ranked all of these forms of rodent control on a scale of humaneness. Mm. She tends to think that the carbon monoxide, you know, it probably is a kind of a slow losing of consciousness. The electric shocks, probably a little more painful, but still more humane than like poison, which is by far and away the worst way to die.
Got it. And I want to be clear, you know, the only time I want to kill rodents is if they're in my house.
Outside, which makes sense.
It's all, yeah. It's theirs. They live outside. It's cool. I'm out of their way. They're out of mine. It's fine. Well, thanks for helping me and our listeners understand why we've been seeing a lot more rats. Will you stick around for a bit? I want to chop it up before you go.
Absolutely.
So, Walt, before you go, I just kind of wanted to chat with you a little bit because this is the first time we're meeting, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I saw you from a distance at our socially distant barbecue.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. But yeah, this is the first time I've been on the podcast since you've been officially host. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. So what about this story? What kind of stories do you typically like to cover?
I do like these animal stories, it turns out. I did some work with the environmental team earlier this year. I did a story on the state testing, you know, COVID-19 in the white-tailed deer population. Mm-hmm. I did a story on these scientists that are feeding a special kind of seaweed to cows to get them to burp less methane as a way to fight climate change. The rat story had definitely been on my radar for a long time. And it's something I brought up to Todd, my editor, kind of early on as something I'd want to pursue more in depth, just exploring this question, you know, are there really more rats? And, you know, what are cities trying to do about it? Mm-hmm. And he said, go for it. So that's kind of how I got into this maze.
Over the course of doing this story, were there any points where you found yourself like, you know, really grossed out?
Yeah, when I went out to Somerville to check out the smart boxes, you know, they had cleared most of them that morning. So mm-hmm. I think if I'd gone out first thing in the morning, probably most of them would have had rats in them. But so we went from box to box to box, and only one had a captured rat in it. It had probably been in there for a couple days, the guy said. But when they opened the box, you know, just this kind of hot, rancid, awful smell, oof, you know, came out of the box, which was this rat that had been kind of rotting in there for 2 days. That was gross. That stuck with me for sure.
Word. Well, Walt, man, thanks so much. It was nice talking with you, man. And I'm sure I'll see you around at some point. I guess maybe in the office one of these days.
Definitely. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's WBUR's Walter Wuthman. And that's all for today. This episode was produced by Wilder Fleming with sound design from Matt Reed. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And from the newsroom of WBUR, I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Hey, you're a podcast listener, obviously. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts coverage, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.